Good afternoon, everyone. I call this meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. It is 3:31 p.m. here on Wednesday, January 28th. We are meeting in the Belts Committee Room here in the beautiful State Capitol Building located in downtown Juneau. I just want to remind folks who are here in the room, if they could please mute their cell phones. Documents for today's meetings are available on BASIS. There are also additional copies right there by the door. Members present today is Vice Chair President Stevens, Senator Keel, Senator Yunt, and myself, Senator Lukey Gale-Tobin. Please let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. I want to thank Chloe from the Juneau LIO for moderating today's meeting and Mary Gwen from Senate Records for documenting in prosperity today's meeting. First hearing of Senate Bill 204 is on the agenda for today. It is related to substitute teaching and relating to the qualifications of school board members. I would like the public to know we will be taking public testimony. For those who would like to call in, these are the following phone numbers from the locations in which you are calling from. If you are located in Anchorage, please call 907-563-9085. If you are calling from Juneau, the phone number is 907-586-9085. From all other locales, please call this toll-free number at 1-844-586-9085. You can also go to your local legislative information office to testify, or you can email your public testimony to senate.education@akleg.gov. That's senate.education@akleg.gov. Please let the record reflect here at 3:32 p.m. we were joined by Senator Bjorkman. All right, let's start. Today, to introduce Senate Bill 204, we are joined by Senator Mike Cronk and his staffer, Paul Mankey. Please come before us, put yourselves on the record, and begin at your leisure.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Education Committee. Senator Mike Cronk with my staff. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Tobin. For the record, Paul Mankey, staff to Senator Mike Cronk.
Well, thank you for having us today. First, kind of warm up on a first bill hearing, or actually second bill hearing we've had today. So I'm just going to read the sponsor statement. This is a Senate Bill 204. It's an act relating to substitute teaching and relating to the qualification of school board members. The number one priority in education should always be our children and our families. In the conversation about how to improve our state's education system, simple yet meaningful reforms need to be thoroughly examined in the legislature. Senate Bill 204 accomplishes two things. First, this bill allows for members of regional and municipal school boards to substitute teach in their schools. Second, it prevents anyone convicted of a felony under both state and federal law from serving as a member of a school board. Our students deserve to be surrounded by the best individuals Alaska has to offer. In Alaska, it is nearly impossible for a convicted felon to be hired as a teacher, and parity should be the minimum standard for a school board member. SB 204 would deem all convicted felons ineligible from serving on a school board. Secondly, schools nationwide are dealing with teacher shortages. SB 204 would provide a common sense provision to make our schools more adaptable by allowing school board members to substitute teach in the schools they oversee. And with that, I'll have my staff go through the sectional.
Thank you. For the record, Paul Mankey, staff to Senator Mike Cronk. A brief sectional analysis. So for SB 204, so Section 1 would amend AS 14.08.041 to allow regional school board members to substitute teach at a school. Section 2 would amend AS 14.12.080 to add a statutory ineligibility for convicted felons to serve as a member of a school board. And Section 3 amends AS 14.14.140 to allow school board members to substitute teach at schools.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from committee members? President Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate the bill. I just had a chance to read through it. And, you know, I do know that the older I get, the less things I know for sure. But I do know my own experience. And I served as president of my school board in Kodiak the last century. We think it was the 80s when Sheffield was governor. But during that time, the governor cut our budget in half, and we had to struggle to try to find a way to fund schools. And then, but secondly, I chaired, as president, I chaired the labor negotiations with the teachers, but also on the superintendent. And that's what bothers me, is that there is a conflict of interest here. you know, I was totally independent of the administration, and I could do my best job to as president or as a member of the board. But I just question whether that's the case if you are an employee of the district. You know, nothing I got from them, nothing they got from me. We were able to all do our job properly. So I just think that this is not the place to allow members of a school board to become dependent on the administration, who want to be on your side. They want to make sure you're happy, and they may offer you a job to make you happy. So that's just my concerns, Senator Cronk, and I don't think I like that idea too much.
Through the chair, I appreciate that, Senator Stevens. And I just want to use an example why I brought this forward. So back in 2017, I retired, and you know, my goal was, hey, you know, I could be a bum, and I could substitute teach for, you know, a couple weeks out of every month, you know, and make enough, you know, enough revenue, you know, money to sustain being a bum and kind of thing. But then I was talking to, you know, running for the regional school board, and I was like, well, I ran for the school board, but as soon as I ran, they said, you cannot substitute. And at that time, and we have a, you know, regional school board of 7 members. 2 of us were retired teachers in a small district, small community. And sometimes we have teachers that have medical issues that are, they're going to be out for 3 or 4 months, and you need a long-term sub. So instead of allowing one of us to fill that gap in that situation, we had to hire somebody as a sub that had no, you know, qualifications as a teacher, where they, you know, basically relied on those sub plans to teach, you know, try to teach and do their thing, versus one of us could have stepped in there and just took over and finished teaching that class. So I understand your point, but in smaller districts and stuff, it could be a regional school board where there's a 1 member or 2 members or 3 members, and that really is a disservice to our kids, because, you know, if you're gone for 3 months, you know how hard that is as a teacher to write sub plans and stuff versus having we are both lifetime certified teachers also, and we couldn't substitute teach. So,
No, I just think there's a conflict of interest that you would want to avoid. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I suppose in my district there are a lot more folks who could, substitute teaching. Some people who had absolutely no experience as teachers were substitute teaching. But I would think as a member of the board, you'd want to avoid someone saying, you're listening too much to the superintendent. You're listening to what they want instead of making the best decisions you possibly can. That's my concern.
Thank you. Thank you, President Stevens. We have next up Senator Bjorkman and then Senator Yount.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To the sponsor or members of the committee, I'm wondering if somehow a local school district like this, or that is an REAA, or DEED itself could set up a separate fund that would pay for substitute teachers in a situation like this. So it would be a set amount that could be set by the state board, for instance, but that school districts could opt into such a fund where they would put aside a certain amount of money that could then pay out to substitute teachers in a situation like this, that would be completely separate from the year-to-year fiduciary responsibilities and budgetary process that school board members have, but then DEED could pay out the substitute teachers through that fund. So that way you have a layer of separation between those school board members who are substitute teachers with someone in the middle to make sure that people are not directly appropriating themselves funds. I wonder if we could set up a structure like that.
Through the chair. So I guess while I was looking at it, so if you were a school board member and you did get the substitute teach, I would hope that any sort of vote on a salary for substitute teaching, you would exempt yourself from that vote, obviously. That could be a fair way to do that, something similar to that. But I'm willing for any suggestions. I just know in our smaller school districts, it really is really hard for, you know, 2 certified teachers living, you know, we want to be part of the system. We want to make sure we're making good decisions, but we weren't allowed to go and substitute. And sometimes it's very hard to find substitute teachers, obviously, in some of our communities.
So. Senator Yount.
Thank you. 2-part question through the chair to the bill sponsor. So Could you please, you know, while we're on the subject of this one here, let us know how big your district was, maybe. I mean, if I think I definitely understand, you know, Senator Stevens' concerns, but I was almost wondering if maybe there's a happy medium in there in a really small community where, and could we do that where we amended it to where we only would allow that in a small area? So what type of, what size district were you in? How big was the school? How many students, you know?
Sure. Through the chair, we in Alaska Gateway School District, seven schools. I think Tok's the biggest school. At possibly maybe like 180 kids, K through 12. The rest of the schools were under 50. Okay. And remote, you know, spread schools. Out. Small yeah. schools, yeah. right? And very difficult to find subs in the smaller community, especially if they needed a long-term sub that almost required the district to go search for another teacher, basically, to fill that. And that was an extreme cost of money to do that. But if you were out for 2 or 3 months, they were willing to do that because that's what the kids deserve.
So, yep, yeah. And I'm just trying to talk our way through possibly a happy medium here where in a district X size and down, maybe that would be possible, and then absolutely they'd have to be conflicted off of any, I would say actually not just financial negotiations pertaining to subs, but I would say all financial negotiations. A school board member does a lot of things besides negotiate contracts. They do a lot of amazing things outside of that, right? So they could still be involved in that. But I would definitely want to see them forced to recuse pertaining to any sort of financial or contractual negotiations if this were to move forward. So second part, I was hoping you guys could speak to a little bit, which I can tell you I'm fully on board with, but I don't think we should have convicted felons on the school board either, but I want to know if you guys wanted to speak to that a little bit. And
through the chair, thank you for the first part. We're willing to, you know, definitely work through you on the subsing. You know, if you wanted to go smaller school districts or rural school district, however you wanted to do that, that would be fine. It's just it's impactful. And the felon thing, we're going to distribute a letter to all of you. I don't think they all have that, right? Not yet. We just got it, and it is a basically, the felon part was brought up from students. And it was through the, you know, Alaska Association of Student Governments. It's resolution number 8. And you guys will all get that. And I would, you know, until you get that, I'd rather not just talk about it. But it's the students brought this idea up, and they were very concerned about, you know, felons being on the school board. And they probably have real life examples for you to share. So, and they may call in today. I'm not sure. I'm hoping they do. And then you could hear from them firsthand.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Cronk. And folks are able to access this resolution. It is on the Association of Student Government's website. We will make sure that we get a copy on BASIS so folks can also access it there. It is from their 2025 Spring Conference in Sitka where they passed a resolution in support of the language that's included in Section 2. Any other follow-up, Senator Yount? Senator Keel.
Well, so thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad the conversation went this way because I was going to bring this up. I guess I had some questions about the felon exclusion, and I may have my head in the wrong place. Can a felon serve in the legislature or on a council or assembly?
Through the chair, I would hope not, but I don't know the exact answer to that.
I don't know if a member of the committee knows, but my recollection is that you can, and that it's the voters who get to decide whether you're disqualified or not, based on what you did. So that, I guess, a total exclusion gives me a little bit of pause there. You know, some things wouldn't wrinkle my eyebrows at all, right? The things that would keep you from having contact with children or setting foot on school grounds might make sense to exclude you from the school board. Guiding without a proper license, should that exclude you from the school board? You know, we have a lot of felonies. And it's not that they aren't serious things. I guess the question is, should they prevent the voters from saying, yeah, you know, it's been a long enough time or whatever? Voters make their decisions based on all manner of factors. So I'll be interested to read the resolution from the students, but I'd like to give a little thought maybe to whether total exclusion is the way to go or if we might want to fine-tune that.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Keel. Senator Cronk.
Through the chair, Senator Keel, thank you for that. We could definitely narrow that down to any crime against children or assault or per se something like that. I'm willing to work with the committee on what they think is best.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Cronk. And I do want to note, under Alaska law, individuals who are marked with permanent barrier offenses such as sex offense or certain barrier crimes are not allowed to work on school grounds. They're not able to be after hours maintenance workers, but they can still serve on our school boards. And so that's what I believe the resolution speaks to, and that will hopefully provide us additional guidance. Any other additional questions, concerns from committee members before we move on to into public testimony? Excellent. We will not be setting an amendment deadline today. However, if members have language that they might be interested in working with Senator Cronk with to produce a committee substitute, we are happy to help draft that and produce that information so that we can continue to move forward and progress with this piece of legislation if we feel that is appropriate for the committee. With that, we will move on to invited testimony. We will move on to public testimony. Unfortunately, our invited testifier had a conflict at this point, so we will bring the bill up at a later date to ensure that that individual is able to provide their insight into why this legislation is needed. But we will now move on to opening public testimony. I now open public testimony for Senate Bill 204. Once again, for folks who do want to testify, the following teleconference numbers are available for you to call in. From Anchorage, it is 907-563-9085. From Juneau, it is 907-586-9085. From all other locales, please call this toll-free number, 1-844-586-9085. You can also email your public testimony to senate.education@aklag.gov. That is senate.education@aklag.gov. First on, we have from the off-net calling from Toke is Holly Beeman. Ms. Beeman, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hello. Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Holly Beeman. I'm from Toke, Alaska, and I am representing myself and as a concerned lifelong Alaskan resident. I will be speaking as a recently graduated student who has a personal connection to this topic and full support on the Senate bill, but I will not be directly stating my previous school district or referencing outside organizations that have shown support. I'm a recent high school graduate who deeply cares about the safety of students in our schools. In 2022, my school district I was attending had someone with a permanent barrier crime who was elected to the school board. That person was legally barred from working inside of a school, but not holding a position on the school board. Their actions while on the board led to legal action and community damage before they were eventually removed. As a young high schooler at the time, it was challenging to hear that there were no laws or regulations preventing someone with a violent history from being allowed to hold a school board position and make decisions about student safety. It felt like Alaska state laws and regulations didn't have student safety as a priority. In April 2025, my friends and I presented a resolution at a statewide student government conference to advocate for this exact change, and it passed with unanimous student support across all the schools in Alaska. Every time I've mentioned this to friends who graduated from larger school districts where school board elections are much more competitive, they were shocked and they couldn't believe that people with violent criminal histories, including crimes against children, can run for a school board position and hold power, even if they are forbidden from stepping on school grounds. It means a lot to me personally to see this issue being taken seriously at the legislative level. And I'm so grateful to see members of the Senate Education Committee working together to ensure the safety of students across all schools in the state. To any House or Senate members unsure about how they want to vote for this, please take a moment to remember that if we want the best chance of success for students in our school, We have to show them that their legislatures have their safety and well-being as a top priority. Thank you, and I look forward to seeing how Senate Bill 204 moves forward.
Thank you, Ms. Beeman. We will now move to Arizona, where we have Jeffrey Alsup. I apologize if I said that name incorrectly. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hello, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Jeffrey Alsup, and I'm from Tok, Alaska. I'm calling in to support, to voice my support for SB 204, and I'm representing myself as a former student school board representative. In 2022, my first year serving as a student representative to my school, to my district school board, a community member with multiple felonies was voted into a position on the school board. Without going into too many details, this person was problematic while serving on the board, resulting in our district getting sued and his early removal from his position. As I researched this issue more, there was something that I realized. Someone with a criminal history like this, former school board member would never be allowed to be employed within a school. So why would we let someone who cannot work inside of a school run and make critical decisions regarding multiple schools within a district? As of now, the only qualification of a school board member is that they must maintain their municipal voting status. In Alaska, after you serve time or pay bail, you regain your voting status. As the language currently stands, a sex offender with crimes against children could be elected to a school board. That is why my friend and I created a resolution to bring this needed change to our state. It was presented to the General Assembly of a statewide student council conference and was passed with unanimous support from students representing schools across Alaska. There is also currently a statewide issue regarding teacher retention and staffing. This bill would allow school board members to substitute teach in our schools. This bill is important because it not only helps with the statewide staffing shortage, but also gets our school board members involved and into our schools. That is why I call today to voice my support for this bill. It is time that Alaskans prioritize our students and children's safety, as well as providing the best educational experience that we can offer. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing how this bill moves forward.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Seeing no one else online, we'll move here to the room. Seeing no one else here on room and no one else online, I'll now close public testimony. Any closing comments that you'd like to make?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, just think the committee's time and the suggestions that we have. I think those are very productive suggestions, and we're willing to work with the committee on doing the best job to make this bill a good bill.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Kronk. Seeing any other comments from committee members, I'm going to hold Senate Bill 204 to a future meeting. If you would like, again, to make any amendments or changes, please work with our office and the bill sponsor, and we will continue to pursue move forward. This concludes our agenda for today. In an exciting turn of events, Senate Education will not be meeting this Friday, January 30th. Our next meeting for the Senate Education Committee will be on Monday, February 2nd at 3:30 p.m. Seeing that there is no other business before us today, I will now adjourn us at 3:54 p.m.